This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to the Friday edition of Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and we are live talk radio Fridays, every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Yep, that means you can call from anywhere, 888-627-6003. That's 8. You got to fill in those zeros. So it's 888-627-6008. And don't forget, you can also hear Spouting Off on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern out of Nashua, New Hampshire, and WSMN 1590 AM and 95.3 FM. Wherever I am, it's Spouting Off time. And please, if you are interested in Spouting Off, not that there's anything going on, mind you, but I think I have a different take on it. At least I hope so. I try to bring something a little different. You never know, though. Everybody thinks that. So I'm going to spout off a little bit, and the phone lines are open at 888-627-6008, and we'll be happy to take your call. So we're living in a mirage. Okay, that's it. I'm done. That's it. We're living in a mirage. Now, it's so interesting to me. People keep addressing issue after issue, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Talk show hosts are supposed to address an issue, tell you what the problem is, tell you what the offending legislation is, and then argue the points on the merits, and then, you know, state an opinion. That's not what they're supposed to do, but that's what a lot of talk show hosts do. Is kind of issue-oriented talk, which is all very important, especially in these times when our First Amendment rights are under attack. I say the more the merrier. You disagree with me, it's great. I'll take you on. Anybody who is unwilling to have their opinions challenged is a person who's either weak or they're a tyrant, one of the two. And I think you know which one it is that is in power now. And so a lot of people are gobsmacked, they're a little shell-shocked, whatever you want to call it, with life as we know it here in the United States of America since January 20th. I count myself among them. I'm still trying to get my brain around what happened and where we go from here. Why? Well, because we know who these people are. We've known who they were all along. So if you think that the people who've been, who tried for 4 years to frame, usurp, stage a coup against the previous president because they found him so threatening to their agenda, are now suddenly going to be trustworthy and tell the truth, then, well, you probably aren't one of my listeners. That's not true. I get listeners from all over. I get letters and emails, too. It's amazing. So here's the question. I think it is good to cut to the chase, because if you get bogged down in every little detail, and that doesn't mean that I won't get into details with various guests, because I will. But if we advance the false premise that the left, the false premises that the left puts out there, then we are either intentionally or unintentionally validating their lies. And they're lying. They're lying through the propaganda media. They're lying to say that America and every conservative who supported Donald Trump are white supremacists. Here's a good example. Do I just want to keep being on the defensive every time the left accuses somebody who either likes, voted, or supported Donald Trump as a white supremacist? Number one, it is an ugly, despicable smear, and those who are offended by it are probably not white supremacists. But that being said, if we get bogged down in this constant defensive stance in which we're going to say, well, I'm not a white supremacist because I'm Jewish. I'm not a white supremacist because this, that, and the other thing. Or if they try to point out how Donald Trump was never a white supremacist and he was never called one till he decided to run for president, all of which is true. And they pushed and pushed and pushed that narrative until a whole bunch of people who watch nothing but CNN believed them, right? But if we are always on the defensive, then we are validating their false narratives, right? There's false premises creating an entirely false universe today, and they all work together. Am I a conspiracy theorist? No, you don't have to be to watch the crazy, insane stuff that the left has been pushing. Everything from there are 57, Heinz 57 genders, and gayness is fixed, but gender is fluid, to, gee, there's really no such thing as man and woman, but we're going to celebrate the first female vice president. You know, on its face, this is insane. But they not only want us to swallow these preposterous lies and silly ideas, but they're going to bully and intimidate us for daring to disagree with them. Let me tell you a couple of lies that I just came up with, you know, just, you know, in 3.5 minutes. It's a lie to say that Democrats want the best for America and for Americans. And that, oh, they just disagree with us on how to get the job done. That used to be a typical line of politicians, right? They always said, oh, you know, let's disagree without being disagreeable. And we just disagree with policy, but we want to take the our opponents at their word that they want the best for America. No, they don't. If they want to open the borders to make you more unsafe in your home and on the streets and everywhere else, they don't want the best for America. If they want to devalue or completely obliterate your vote and your voice, censor your ability to express yourself, demonize and bully and intimidate you into shutting up and not expressing your opinion, whatever it is, I don't care how crazy it is. They never censor their own crazy ideas, but they want to censor American ideas. They want to censor ideas that have anything to do with individual rights, liberty, and self-sufficiency, individuality. Oh, that's a no-no. We can't have that. So they're perpetrating a lie. Until we tell the truth and we stop paying attention to a false premise, we're going to continue to inadvertently or vertently, which isn't a word, validate their point of view. It's a lie to say that Joe Biden is actually calling the shots in this presidency. Does anybody believe that Joe Biden knows what he's signing? He has shown immense mental deterioration since he was vice president, and he did nothing in the Obama administration. But yet, oh, gee, he appointed all the same people from the Obama administration, and this is Obama 3.0 on steroids. I don't know who's calling the shots, but Joe Biden isn't. And it's an in-your-face insult to suggest that Joe Biden is nothing more than a puppet, not only of the communist left in China, but the communist left in this country. So let's call it what it is. Do you run the risk of being demonized and, because you dare to say that? Well, First Amendment is such that you either use it or you lose it. If you comply with shutting up, you will be shutting up more and more. Remember, a long time ago, I said regarding the coronavirus, which now people are seeing that there is a huge, massive connection between the same people who've been pushing these constant authoritarian edicts on people all over the country and, frankly, all over the Western world, that it's the same people who are authoritarians and totalitarians using coronavirus as an excuse, using coronavirus to bastardize our election laws, using it to scare people into compliance, using it to obliterate individual freedom, respect for other people's rights to disagree, and to single out and bully people who say, nope, not doing that. It's a lie to say that masks work or that it is constitutional for politicians and bureaucrats to force you to wear one. It's a lie to suggest that there's anything constitutional about censoring the speech of one's opponents. Now, the First Amendment, in its not only its brilliance, but literally, says that the government cannot punish you for what you say. Not only have the left been using third parties, tech giants, the technocracy to fully and completely shut down the left, I mean, shut down conservatives who disagree with their crazy ideas, but now they're talking and they say Joe Biden is doing it, but he's not. They're talking about having a reality czar. They're going to now tell us what reality is. And if we don't accept their reality, then we're probably going to be punished, shut down, and censored. I don't know. Is that a violation of our First Amendment rights? You better believe it is. Do they want to abolish our Second Amendment rights? You better believe they do. Only people that mean you harm want to disarm you if you're a law-abiding citizen. They want to disarm law-abiding citizens and leave them helpless. They also want to take away the protection of the police. The first, we've said this a lot, but it's true. They used to say, you don't need a gun, you've got the police to protect you. But now they want to abolish the police too, because truly the reality and the real reality, left, is that they want to leave you helpless and unprotected so that you will comply with their authoritarian rules. Gives me no pleasure to talk like this. I wish we could talk about the old days where we talked about, oh, this amendment or that amendment. But we have to tell the truth, and we have to have other people tell the truth so that we have a fighting chance of turning this around. I got a whole bunch more lies, but they all go to the same thing. It's a lie to say that conservatives are white supremacists or that America is. That is what they call everyone who disagrees, because if you make it okay, if you call someone a hater, you've got free rein to hate on them as much as possible. That's what they do. We have to take a break, and I got another segment to rant and rave, so you might want to call me to stop me from spouting off here so that you can have your say. 888-627-6008. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and we'll have a guest at the bottom of the hour. Gonna be interesting. Stay tuned.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Well, I'm not done spouting off yet, and I'm in luck, because that's the name of my show, Spouting Off. It's funny, you know, that domain name was totally, I don't know if I have spoutingoff.com, come to think of it. I should get it if I don't. But it wasn't that popular because people think spouting off is a bad thing. But see, I think spouting off is a good thing because it means that you're not censoring yourself. That's what they want us to do. Censor ourselves. They want to turn other people into examples. So we'll make sure and shut up and behave and look down at our feet and wear our muzzle like a good boy and girl. Nope, not doing it. This is America. And in order to save America, we have to exercise our God-given rights in America. That's what talk radio is all about. Hey, you know, the water's fine, lefties, come on in, but you're going to have to be challenged on your beliefs. That's why they're lousy at talk radio, if I do say so myself. The Democrats have become staggeringly predictable. Every story about a Democrat in the media is fluffy, positive, or ignores these glaring failures and lies that they're perpetrating and the devastating defects that they have, including that many people, not all the voters who voted for him, but many people know that Joe Biden sold us out to the communist Chinese, that he's going to stick it to the Russians, but he is a sweet little puppy dog when it comes to the communist Chinese. He's doing the bidding of the Chinese government because they paid him. They own him. They paid him billions and his son Hunter. Are we allowed to talk about that? Apparently not, but this is America. Every story about a conservative anywhere is full of hyperventilating hyperbole, claiming these insane, horrible motives of crazy and evil. You know, as a social worker, which I don't practice anymore. And, you know, I practice when I talk on the radio occasionally. Ages ago, there was a diagnosis called borderline personality disorder. Well, some of the symptoms, and of course they've moved on because even everything has been infiltrated by leftist ideas. But the DSM, I don't know, 4 or 5, whatever it was, borderline personality disorder, which I think is still in there, but they've changed some of the qualities because, as you know, mental health is an art, not a science. Now they're going to make people who have guns, own guns, want guns to have to go through a mental health screening of some sort, of course, done by leftists in the mental health field who already think it's crazy to want to own a gun to defend yourself in the first place. You see how that works? They stack the deck every which way they can. They probably think this sounds paranoid. But you know what? The left are the ones that are paranoid. If they weren't paranoid, they wouldn't be trying to control your thoughts, your mind, your ability to disagree. They would challenge and take on all comers like we do in talk radio. But here's what I was going to say. The borderline personality disorder, among the many qualities, is that the person suffering sees everything as all good or all bad. They never see the gray areas in people in personalities. Now, there was a time not long ago when the left was the one pushing that there are gray areas and that we shouldn't have all white hats and all black hats in Hollywood because people are shades of gray, don't you know? Right? That's what they used to say not that very long ago. Now, they're pushing borderline personality disorder on steroids. They're deciding that anything a Democrat does is fine, dandy, and wonderful. Anything a conservative does is horrible, terrible, evil, and is domestic terrorism. Well, most sane, normal people know that isn't true, but they don't care because they can incite violence and hatred and division in this country, and that's what they're doing. Is it an accident that they're trying to impeach now a private citizen, Donald Trump, of the very same thing they're doing? Well, I circle back, as the new press secretary says. I'm going to circle back to what I said at the beginning. Democrats are staggeringly predictable. They always seem, this crop of Democrat strategists always seem to, not by accident, accuse their opponents of exactly and precisely what they do. They have been inciting violence. Yes, they have. Did the Republicans call them on it? No. So the average Joe who just reads headlines thinks that it's the Republicans who incited violence. Nope. Not so. Not generally speaking. Another really scary story, all in line with what I'm telling you, is the diabolical nature of Democrat strategy today, which is they plant an agent provocateur, many, on January 6th. Does that mean that there were conservatives who entered the Congress building on January 6th? No, that's not what it means. It means the inciters, the violence, the crazy people, including the guy with the horns, who they now say was a Republican Trump supporter, which nothing could be further from the truth, not the very least of which is he's demanding organic food in prison or in jail. None of what he says or does fits any kind of conservatism whatsoever, but they don't care because, remember, they're spinning a mirage for the masses. The mirage for the masses says that Donald Trump incited violence even though he did no such thing, and that they can impeach him after he leaves, which is ridiculous. They don't care how ridiculous. So I'm trying to say too many things at once, so let me slow down. So here's a diabolical example. What do? They send in a bunch of agents provocateur who clearly hate Donald Trump. And then what do? They smear Donald Trump with having incited a riot, which they did all summer long, and said not one word. Now they're hyperventilating and out of breath talking about how terrible it all was on January 6th. Because supposedly they were the ones who were in danger. You can't make this stuff up. But what's the piece de resistance? Then they turn around and say that those same rioters that they accused of being conservatives have turned on Trump and are going to testify against him because he led them down the primrose path. I mean, you got to think pretty evil to come up with that kind of propaganda. And yet that is what we are dealing with. We are dealing with a media that is in cahoots with the Democrat strategists, whomever they are. It certainly ain't Joe Biden, to tell us to spin a lie, to spin a false narrative, to advance that false narrative, and then use it to advance their agenda. Can you say coronavirus? It's a lie. I'm going to go back to the lies. I thought I didn't have anything to talk about today. Can you believe it? I'm going to go back to more lies. It's a lie to suggest that there is anything constitutional, I said that one, but it bears repeating, about censoring the speech of our opponents. And yet that's precisely what they are doing. They are demonizing people for thinking things that don't comport with what they think or what they think we ought to believe. This is so deadly dangerous. There's a reason it's the First Amendment and not the 14th. Okay? If you do not have free expression, freedom of thought, and individual thought, and you're not protected for what you think, no matter how crazy it is, and the left has been protected by that, then you don't have a free country. The other thing they're trying to do is eradicate individuality. Here's a thought for you. Remember about 5-10 years, whatever it is, when they first got into this whole notion of diversity, diversity, diversity. Well, diversity is really a tool of collectivism. Even though it's not meant to, it doesn't sound like it. If you believe in diversity, a lot of people superimpose their fair-mindedness on such an idea, and they decide that, well, diversity must mean that we accept and tolerate differences of opinion. Nope, 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 nope. That's not what diversity means to the left. Diversity means that you belong to a group by virtue of something that you have nothing to do with. Your name, such as Karen, or your religion, or your color, your ethnicity, whatever it is, which is by its very nature bigoted, You belong to a group, and you need to be set against people of other groups so that they can create division. So if you're black, you have an obligation to think like a black person and be paranoid that everybody's out to get you because white America wants you dead. Those are all the things you are obligated to believe. And if you don't believe that, well, you're going to be censored and shut down. This is diabolical kinds of strategy. And we have to talk about the strategy because to defend ourselves or to defend the opposition's accusations is to validate their premise, either consciously or unconsciously. Here's another one. It's a lie to say that conservatives are white supremacists or that America is. I may have said that one. The reason it is so offensive to be called a racist or a bigot is because Americans don't like that anymore. Now, does that mean there aren't some? Yeah, there are. There are a lot of ugly, nasty qualities, but the government doesn't get to legislate them away. It's not illegal to be an ignoramus, unfortunately. No, I'm kidding. It shouldn't be. It's not illegal to even be a hater, but they want you to think so. It's not illegal. It shouldn't be illegal. They allowed Nazis to march in Skokie with Holocaust survivors, and in the old days, the ACLU was a champion of their right to do it, not because apparently they agreed with them, but because they believed so strongly in the freedom of expression and the freedom of speech. The ACLU today doesn't believe that anymore. They believe in hate speech, which means people ought to be shut down if we don't like what they say. That's the kind of topsy-turvy world we're living in. And in my humble opinion, the only way we're going to be able to fight back is to keep telling the truth about it, to keep ignoring the false premises and continuing to say what they don't want you to say. Here's the point. They don't censor things that aren't threats to them. If you said the earth is made of green cheese or people who wear brown shoes are the best people in the world, I don't think they're going to censor that. In fact, they don't even censor hatred towards Israel or America by countries that hate us. No, because that's not a threat to these folks. But if you start talking Christianity, and you know I'm not a Christian, but if you represent any of the groups that they see as threats to their communist, authoritarian, totalitarian agenda, they're going to censor you. So what do? Do you shut up? No, you need to keep talking in droves. In droves, you need to keep talking. And make sure that you organize with other people who also keep talking in droves so they remember there are millions of us out here. We cannot afford to shut up. We really can't. In fact, we need to keep spouting off, doggone it. When we come back, we're going to have a terrific guest. I'll tell you all about him when we get back. Also, thanks to K-Star Radio for carrying our program Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, no matter where we are. It's Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Stay tuned. A lot more to come right after this.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. And if you'd like to join me on my website, and you will be able to listen to Spouting Off Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and know where to push the button, and even our call-in numbers are there, because we like call-in talk radio, where you can participate. All you got to do is go to www.karencataline.com. Cataline spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. I requested this guest, who has been kind enough and generous enough with his time to join us for the rest of our show, which is just two segments now. His name is Nick Lyons, and he wrote a great book called Fire in the, oh gosh, wait a minute, where is it? I've got it. Fire in the Straw. Now, what attracted me to this book, and we're going to talk all about this, is that with our liberties under such great attack, we are finding a great migration, internal migration, in the United States of America. We're finding people moving from big cities to smaller towns. I certainly did that several years ago to meet my husband. To join my husband in Northern Colorado. And now people are doing it all over the country. And this man, Nick Lyons, is prepared to tell us more and shed some light on it. Welcome to Spouting Off, Nick Lyons. You're with Karen.
Delighted to be here, Karen. I'm calling from a big city, but I can talk on this subject because I've lived through it, and I'm back here for another reason.
Where are you hailing from right now?
I'm sorry.
Where are you calling from right now, New York City?
Oh, I'm calling from New York City, Karen. Yes, right in the middle of it. But I have lived in Woodstock, New York, for the previous 20 years. And I went up to Woodstock for very much the same reason. I've come back because I have some medical problems. I'm 88 years old. But
88?
But I understand the impulse to leave. I wish I could, but I've had my wife died and my oldest son died. So I came back here to be, with all the difficulties of the city, to be close to the rest of my family, the other children and grandchildren.
God love you.
I understand the impulse, particularly since I'm a trout fisherman and love the country. And was delighted to get closer to it after I'd finished most of the work that I did in this world.
Wow! But Nick, let me say, just I moved to New York City when I was 21, and all I wanted was the big city. Then I moved to Los Angeles. I lived in Florida, and then as I've gotten older, I've moved to smaller and smaller towns, and it has been such an education. Because it is the small towns that not only feed the country and the farmers and the ranchers, but they're the ones being demonized and told to shut up, sit down, you're a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
And the politics of this is fascinating. Speak to that, if you would, Nick, because you've written a book about it.
Well, my book is essentially a personal memoir about changes that I've made in my life, and since this is an issue of changes, and since I am passionately connected to the issue of freedom, perhaps I could link the two for a moment. I had really followed the pattern that children often follow when they have strong-willed parents of doing what they wanted me to do rather than what I wanted to do. So at a certain period of my life, when I was in the U.S. Army, I sat down and took stock of things. I had gone to the Wharton School of Finance and Commerce, and I had not liked it. I was not a businessman at heart, and I had longed for something else, for some other kind of life closer to the heart, but mostly with more freedom. Having a job in an insurance brokerage seemed to me to be a kind of prison that I would be in, and I longed for something much freer than that. That's the start of it, and then I changed my life completely and went on for a PhD in literature, became an English teacher and a book publisher, which was far removed from all the studies I'd had. But it was taking a big risk at one point, really anxious to be free to do what I wanted to do, even though it meant, though I had a degree, going back to school as a freshman. It was a dramatic, dramatic moment. And that is the fire in the straw, this longing to be free, this longing to be out of the morass of a life that I thought I was doomed for otherwise. I think that fire in the straw is really a statement about freedom, that the fire that we have inside of us doesn't want to be hidden in the straw. It will come out. Fire cannot be hidden in the straw. And that's really the heart of the book that I was writing.
Boy, that's beautifully stated. And never more so today when we are at the beginnings of, it gives me no pleasure to say, a cracking down on individuality, on individual choice, on individual liberty. And there are people in power now who are trying to extinguish the fire that you talk about. What did you ever think you'd live to see such a time? I surely have not. Never did.
Well, I'm the least of political figures, Karen. I think that much of freedom starts with the individual. That's the notion of it. It's freedom to do what one will do, what one's fire tells one to do. I think that against any time, we're responsible to ourselves to break out and do the things that we're able to do. I think that all political systems have some kind of control over you, and I don't like any part of it. I like the notion of deciding ourselves. And any time, from whatever party it happens, I become very jumpy and very nervous and very anxious to find a way to make my own life, the life of my large family, 4 children, free and able to do what they want to do. It's a big question. I haven't seen anything of this new
huge question.
New place, a couple of gestures, but
new place? What do you mean?
Well, I haven't seen much of the new government. So I'm not convinced that I can't maintain and that individuals can't maintain most of the or all of the freedoms that they want. Some freedoms seem to me rather minor. I don't
like what?
Like the mask business. I think you've got an epidemic out. You've got a problem, a real problem with, I don't know exactly how many people, whether the figures are correct, but you've got an enormous number of people getting sick from it, dying from it, and I don't like
and that's,
the mask. I think the mask
the
is a terrible
narrative,
thing.
But it isn't true. You know what,
well,
Nick,
that's
what I'd
the
like
question.
To ask,
yep.
Excuse me? What I'd like to ask is if it's okay, you know, because I do respect individual freedom.
Yep.
I could not disagree more with you about what the masks represent,
yep.
about the force the masks are being used, and the lies being perpetrated on a virus that is 99.86% non-lethal, except to people like yourself,
and
we take this seriously,
people, yes.
who have the same vulnerability to the flu, but nobody's died of the flu. My point is, are you willing to discuss that a little bit, or shall we go back? I want to give you the right, because I didn't really invite you to talk about that per se, and yet the right to disagree, the right to have this kind of engagement and debate is what I believe is dying in this country. I agree with you, Karen, that
there must be capacity to disagree, and I have no reason to quarrel with that position at all. It's a position I hold very, very dearly. I don't like it. In this case, the only thing that I am not persuaded by, but am brought to think about seriously, is the fact that I don't believe the scientists really are controlled by the politicians. I think this guy,
except that they've contradicted themselves again and again and again.
Well, a couple
the projections
of times.
Were off.
But they
all
never,
of it.
They never know exactly what it's going to be. It's science is the process of discovery. I think this is one of the least of the issues that we have. I don't like the masks, but I would wear them in public. I think that there's enough evidence for me.
Does the government have a right to force you, or do you get to make that decision for yourself, given that you've talked about, let me just finish my thought.
Absolutely.
You've talked so much about individuality and freedom, and the fact that a government, be it state or federal, anyone, has the right to bully and intimidate you into wearing a rag on your face after there's a contradiction for most people. Whether or not it does any good, and it doesn't matter, they don't have a right to force you and to take away your liquor license or whatever else they are doing, which is a lot. Can they or should they force 330-plus million people to walk around with masks on their faces or be demonized and bullied?
I don't like anything that's forced, Karen. Emerson has a great statement in his work. I was not born to be forced. It's one of the great statements of individual freedom, and I agree with that completely.
We agree. So let me ask you this, okay?
Hello?
I always wanted to do, but I can never get people who disagree with me very much. Can you hear? Can you hear me?
I can hear, and I'm delighted to talk about this.
Okay. Good. I'm so happy because fundamentally we agree. So let me ask you this. If people have crossed the line of respecting other people's boundaries and liberties, then isn't it fair to question whether their motive is to continue to force their will upon you when we know that there are card-carrying communists in the government right now? I hate to say this, but I have a minute. I don't want to give short shrift to your answer, so I'll try my best to...
You go on. I like to hear a good argument, and I'm not I'm not standing against it in the sense that I think it's wrong to fight for this kind or any kind of freedom. I don't like the government to tell me to wear a mask. I don't wear it for them. But if I go into a place where a big crowd...
And you have made that decision for yourself. Listen, I got to take a quick break. Delighted that you're going to stay around. And you are quite impressive. I got to take a break. Karen Cataline.
Right. Okay.
And we are talking to Nick Lyons. We'll be right back after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. You know, I'm calm because I'm talking to this exceptionally impressive man, Nick Lyons, the author of Fire in the Straw, a memoir about how he invented himself and then reinvented himself. And we're talking about freedom and liberty, and we have a disagreement that not only are we having a civil disagreement, but it's fascinating that we don't get more of those opportunities to talk to people who disagree. I contend that there is a virulent movement right now to demonize and abuse and even single out and censor people who disagree with what the people in power think we ought to think, believe, and do. Nick Lyons, thank you so much for staying with us and for being open and willing to discuss this. Before the break, we were talking about how you wear a mask, but you don't do it for anyone else. You do it for you. The question would be, do you support government officials who want people like you to snitch on and demonize people like me who refuse to wear a mask anywhere I don't absolutely have to, and I don't think they have a right to tell me to wear one? It's not the bubonic plague.
Well, no, it's not. I think perhaps it's worse than you're making it out to be, Karen, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
I wear one
because I'm 88 years old.
And they don't work.
And they, I'm not sure they don't work. No. Here I am living in this city full of this disease. And whenever I go into a group, not because someone tells me to, but because I think there's something about what I've heard about this particular disease. And we're not talking about someone impinging upon all of my freedoms in this case, but just the fact that I don't like the government saying, wear the mask. I also don't like the possibility, and it's a possibility, that this disease is what the scientists say, and that it does exist in a cloud, and that if you get it, there is the possibility that you're going to die from it. That there are
pre-existing conditions.
But it's not.
I've never said the virus doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But what if? Just what if this one thing is being used to condition us to take orders from the government about a whole bunch of other things, which in fact it is being used.
Well,
restaurants are being shut down. Education is shut down. People's livelihoods are being destroyed. Every kind of communist wet dream idea has been instituted under the guise of coronavirus. And that wasn't done for H1N1 or even for polio. So something unholy is going on here. And yet the media does nothing but report coronavirus.
Yeah, there is
so I'm not suggesting you have to agree with me. I'm saying that we both love liberty. And I fear, and I know because I've been watching it, that the virus is being used for an entirely different purpose, and that's to shut down the very thing you love so much, and I do too.
Well, that's a big question, Karen, and I'd have to give that a lot of thought. I view it as something separate from any other possible impingements on liberty. Everything in my book, Fire in the Straw, is about the freedom in every way to do the things that one thinks right by the best of one's ability, and to particularly to develop oneself in a way where you can be of help to other people. I am very, very concerned with that freedom. It is virtually the hallmark of the book and of my life, of this reinventing. When I found one part of my life not working, as you found the various cities of your life less attractive than the smaller ones you went to, I demanded and got the right to go to those places and become that person. A lot of people told me not to. They said, it's silly. You have a great degree in business. You should not throw it away. But I felt that there was something in me that I wanted to come out, my freedom to become the person I wanted to be, not the person my parents or my friends or anyone else wanted me to be.
Yes.
I think that in the case of this mask, I can't, this is the first time I've heard your particular argument on that, and I'd really have to think about it more. But I view it as something I would do, and I would be glad that other people would do it in a crowded place, but I stay away from crowded places, and I get outdoors as much as I can.
It should be your choice to do
that. I don't know whether it's a stalking horse, a stalking dog for a bigger deprivation of freedom. That's the one.
And I believe it is. It already has been.
Yes, you've said that. And I think
I will say this.
It's an argument.
It may be, Karen.
It may be.
Yes, it is. And I not only respect your willingness to consider this possibility.
Of course I do.
And I would advance it if I had a lot of time, which I don't. But I also respect that you and I have the same passion. It's fascinating. I wrote a book. I won't go into huge detail, but the book I wrote, which took me forever to write, called Fatlash Food Police and the Fear of Thin, was about my stage mother, who put me on in baby beauty pageants and in child and put me on diets because she had a vision for what she wanted me to do and be, because her mother did the same to her.
Yep.
So personal freedom has been the cornerstone of my life as well. And that's why I wanted to write my book to warn other parents not to live through their children as mine did.
Boy.
And to that end, not only do I respect your choice, right, and ability to wear a mask anywhere you see fit, but I believe that there are
enough... You don't want anybody
enough...
telling you, Karen. You don't want anybody tell you, to force you to wear it.
You're not the boss of me, but I am forced. And not only am I being forced in many places, but there are places in which the bureaucrats who are pushing these masks in contradiction to all the other science that they have censored, they are enabling and actually rewarding people for demonizing and bullying those who stick out like a sore thumb, which has the effect of putting down the very individuality and freedom that you and I love so much. You
know, that's a powerful statement. And I hope it's not so. Just as you said, it is so.
Yeah.
I would have to think about it and look at it more.
Yeah.
In this
and
case,
you're a fair-minded man.
But I certainly agree completely with you. I hate all forms of deprivation of freedom. And if this is falling into it, I've got to look at it more closely. Which I'll do.
See, what a fair-minded man. And I could tell you more, but I want to use the last couple minutes to talk about your observation, which I just love, that people are moving into smaller towns. Because I, as an urban Jewish person, always lived in big cities. Then I fell in love with a trucker. And I live in a... Yeah, we only have 90 seconds. Doggone, much faster than I thought.
Yeah.
I would urge everyone, you know what, I'm going to have you on more often if you're willing, because you are fun to talk to.
Isn't that nice of you to say? Yeah.
Yeah, well, Tell everybody where they can find your book.
Well, it's on Amazon. They've got a lot of material on it and a lot of good comments that have come in on it. I think almost all the Barnes & Noble stores have it. And I think hopefully most of the smaller stores will have it as well.
Thank you. I got to wrap up the show.
Okay.
So it's Nick Lyons, author of Fire in the Straw, Notes on Inventing a Life. I'm going to run out and get a copy. Thank you so much, Nick,
for joining us. Thanks. Bye.
You be well, and I hope your health improves. What a great conversation. I got to wrap it up. Thank you, Doug, and everyone at BBS Radio. Thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in Tuesdays, Thursdays, and next Friday for more of Spouting Off.